Good morning. I can check off my list of bucket list of being on a movie or on a video game. Got that done. I thought my emoji jumped a lot higher than Pastor Joel's, though. That was great. Hey, I want to welcome you to Seacoast this morning. My name is Josh Surratt. I serve as the lead pastor here. If I haven't met you, we're just honored to be here. I love our church family. I love our community gathering together. I love that we're gathered here, but we're also one church in many different locations. Want to shout out to all of our campuses that are joining us as well. Shout out to Greenville campus and Columbia campus. And I know yesterday I saw some pictures of the football games. Everybody's happy today. You got to put at least a couple of those games on your calendar, you know, where you can feel good on Sunday morning. But Josh Walters, who's been a lifelong Gamecock fan, I saw that he was at the Clemson game wearing orange. And so you Gamecock fans may need to talk to him about that and figure that out. But it's going to be a great day together. We're in a series called Level Up. And this series started several months back. A bunch of us were talking and praying about where we would need to go. And I think it was Pastor Joel Delph, actually, that was like, man, I feel like as a church and as believers, we need to, like, there's some things that we just need to level up. Like, we need to grow to the next level in our faith. And so that's the series that we've been in. And today we're going to talk about leveling up in the area of purity, of purity. Turn to your neighbor and say, this might hurt a little bit. This might hurt a little bit. Talk about purity. I want to start with a little bit of a science experiment. I've got two bottles here. They both have water in them. And one of the bottles is purified drinking water. So a sealed bottle, hadn't been opened yet. And the other one is water that I got out of the river near my house. It looks very similar. Same size bottle, same level of clarity. But the difference is that this one has some bacteria in it, possibly some parasites, probably some animal feces in it. If I were to offer you, I mean, many of you may be thirsty, you came today, offer you a drink of water and gave you an option of which one of these to choose from, everybody, with the exception of maybe a couple of middle school boys, everybody would choose the clean water, right? Right, why? Because we know that if we drink this water that has parasites and bacteria in it, it's gonna make us sick. Like, we're gonna have some problems probably by the time we finish our service that are going to come out of drinking the impure water. And we know in our culture today, we pay a lot of attention to what we put in our bodies. You know, we want to make sure that we're putting stuff into our bodies that will help us to be healthy. And nobody wants to gamble with something that might make them sick. Yet when it comes to our souls, many of us will drink from anything. We'll put anything into our souls. We'll watch anything. We'll scroll anything. We'll consume anything. And then we wonder why we feel off in our souls, why we may feel frustrated or fatigued or weary, maybe even contaminated. Because we're more careful about what goes into our stomach than we are what goes into our spirits. If water has to be purified to be healthy, why do we think that our hearts don't need the same? And so we're going to talk about it today. And it's been great. I've loved this series. We've talked about leveling last weekend. Greg talked about leveling up in our faith and looking at what's in our hand. And we've looked at comfort. And we've looked at, even Joel talked about this idea of the secret place and of leveling up and promotion from how we spend our time with God. And today we're just going to go there when it comes to purity. And again, I don't know that I could do a good job preaching on purity if it doesn't hurt just a little bit at times. But what you need to know is that the goal here is not to give you kind of I've heard a lot of messages on purity, and sometimes it feels like, man, if we would just try harder and work harder at doing all these checklist things that will be better. And the reality is that we're in a pretty level playing field today. In fact, I would just ask this question, crowd participation. How many of you have blown it in some area of your life in the last year? Anybody? Just some area? Okay. Look around. That's just about everybody. And the ones that aren't raising their hands, they just blew it because they lied in church. In the presence of God, of all places, they lied. So we're all on level playing field. And I know when I ask that question, there may be some of you that you're right in the middle of just a big mistake that you've made, or feel like you've blown it in the area of purity. And maybe even you feel a sense of shame or a sense of guilt or a sense of heaviness around that. And man, my prayer for you today is that you would find hope and that you would find life today, and that it wouldn't just produce you wanting to try harder, but that we would actually find purity, real purity, and level up in that area of our lives. And in fact, instead of studying a lot of different passages that we could study today on purity, I felt like God led me to look at the life of David. Because David was a king in the Old Testament. And here's what was said about David in hindsight, after the scope of his entire life, God said about David, "That is a man after my own heart." That's a pure-hearted man. And yet if I were to ask you to name some things you know about David, and probably the first four or five things that would be named would be a woman named Bathsheba. One of the most famous stories about David was a story of when he blew it big time. And if you don't know the story, he was a king. It was time to go to war. He stayed home when other kings went to war, and he noticed a woman bathing on her in her home. And she was a married woman, and yet he chose to take her and to sleep with her and have an affair. And it was a moment where he made a massive mistake. She ends up getting pregnant. And David, rather than coming clean, he decided to do what a lot of us do when we blow it, is he decides, "I'm gonna try to fix this myself." And he calls her husband home from war, and he's like, "Maybe we'll just get them together and they'll just think the baby's theirs." Well, the husband had more integrity at that moment than David did and said, no, "My men are in war. I'm not gonna do this. I'll sleep outside at the temple gates or at the city gates." And so David can't fix his own problem, so he ends up compounding it even more, and he has her husband sent to the front lines of battle, and essentially he murders her husband and then takes her as his own wife. And things get worse and worse and worse. And for about a year, David lives as if everything's normal. He keeps leading. He keeps on singing. He keeps on doing all the things he normally did. But all the while, he's dealing with this deep sin in his own life. And I thought, man, wouldn't it be amazing to know, like, what did David do in that moment where he finally comes to grips with his sin? And what if the key to us leveling up in purity is not that we always get it all right, although we do want to stop drinking from water that's making us sick, but what if the key was our heart's posture when we actually realize that we've not gotten it right, when we've blown it? And the good news is that David actually wrote a prayer in Psalms chapter 51 that he wrote right after he was confronted with the sin. He had a friend in his life named Nathan, who was a prophet, who actually came to him and confronted him on what he had done. And rather than continuing to try to hide, David just fully comes clean with God. And so we're gonna look at this Psalm 51 as a blueprint for how we might be able to level up in purity. So whether you're here today and maybe you're in the middle of a mess that came out of your own doing, or maybe there's just some things you know God's wanting to clean up in your life and level you up, let's lean into the scripture and see what we can learn together. Psalm 51, I'm gonna read you verse 1 through 17. Here's what David says when he's blown it. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity." Then verse 10 says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God. You who are God, my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. What can we learn about purity from looking at this prayer that David prayed when he was at the end of his rope, when he was at the very bottom, rock bottom, because of his own impurity? What can we learn about it? Three things that jump out to me. Number one, if we're gonna level up in purity, we've gotta move from covering it up to bringing it into the light. We've got to move from covering it up to bringing it into the light. Look what he says in verse 3. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. See, David finally owns what he had been trying to hide. For almost a year, he had kept leading, kept performing, kept smiling, functioning, but he wasn't whole on the inside. He knew, I've got to, when Nathan confronted him, he's like, I've got to just own this. I've got to come clean. And the truth is that you can't be forgiven for a sin that you're still trying to justify. God can't heal us from stuff that we won't reveal, that we won't bring into the light. But most of us, if we're honest, we have mastered the art of appearances of purity while totally ignoring and not confronting the absence of purity. You know, Jesus says a lot about purity and scripture says a lot about purity, but I was led to this passage in Matthew chapter 7 when Jesus is talking about how we handle other people's impurity versus our own. And he says in verse 3, he says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? Why do you look at the sawdust, the little bit that you can see in your brother's eyes, and yet you've got a 2x4 coming from your own eye? And the truth is that we're experts at spotting the sin that we don't struggle with. But a lot of us have a hard time noticing the sin that we do struggle with. A few weeks ago, Miles and I were at a soccer tournament. He was playing in Columbia, South Carolina. And about a year ago, I decided we've been doing this travel sports thing for a long time. I don't book at the same hotel that the soccer team books at anymore. Because man, that is just nasty. It just smells like sweaty kids. And so we booked a different hotel and we were staying in downtown Columbia. And we went and he played in his first game on Saturday. Then we went to go book ourselves into the hotel. And there were a ton of cars and a lot of activity going on around it. I asked the lady at the front desk, she said, yeah, there's like a market going on Saturday. So we decided to walk down to a restaurant to go eat some food. And so we walk a block, we turn left onto this main street. And it took me about 60 seconds. And I looked around and I realized, oh, goodness, we're walking in a gay pride parade right now, me and my son. Now, listen, I know some of you are, all of us are uncomfortable right now, probably when I shared that with you, but I'm not here to, this is a safe place wherever you are on this whole deal, but this is not what I had intended on doing on that Saturday afternoon. And I felt confident that before long, somebody was gonna take my picture and post it to the internet here at this parade. So we're walking and we're about 2 blocks away from the restaurant. And of course, Lisa calls me right as we're walking. And I'm like, oh great, she already has heard about this. So I'm like, hey babe. She goes, what are you doing? I was like, well, Miles and I are actually walking in a parade right now that we didn't mean to. And so it's uncomfortable and we're walking to this restaurant. And here's the thing is that there are a lot of, you know, families there and a lot of people there at different walks of life. But there was also some stuff that Miles and I saw as we were walking that made us feel very, very heavy. Some stuff that wasn't just celebrating differences. There was just outright celebrating of debauchery. Some stuff even people were doing together that whether it was same sex or not, it did not belong being done in the public, especially around around families and all of this stuff. And we saw signs and some vulgarity. And so we were just kind of like, oh, okay. So we go to this restaurant and he and I are processing and talking. And he goes, Dad, what do you make of all of this stuff? And so I told him what I've told our church and what we've learned even from our founding pastor for the last 37 years. Told him, number one, God has called us to love everybody, no matter what. And so let's be careful that we don't sit here and just like point fingers and get on our high horse and judge people. They're like, God has called us to love. And so we need to check our heart on that. But then also said, man, it's a great opportunity to have a conversation about what does purity look like when it comes to our sexuality according to God and his standard? Because what I found in the church is that when it comes to this subject, that you'll find, you know, one of two things. One is you'll find some people that'll tell you, hey, don't worry about any of that stuff. Don't worry about sexual purity. It's all fine. And we encourage people to drink from water that will ultimately make us sick. And then on another hand, you find churches that act like they don't have any impurity. And we just want to yell and be angry at the people who struggle with the different kinds of stuff than we do. And so what I told them is, man, God's standard is that sex was designed for married couples, a man and a woman who are married in the context of marriage. That's the way God designed it. That's the standard for it. And so whether it's same-sex couples violating that, whether it's heterosexual couples that are having sex before they're married, whether that's somebody who might be having an adulterous relationship, whether that's people who are struggling with pornography. And Jesus even took it to a whole nother level. He said, even those of us who lust in our own minds, we've already committed adultery in our heart. And so Jesus has this standard for purity that is, man, there's a very, and why? Because he doesn't love us, because he hates us? No, because he doesn't want us to get sick, because he designed this. He created it. He loves us. So we had this conversation about it. We're talking about it. And then I felt like the Holy Spirit really convicted me. And here's what he said to me. He said, Josh, it's always easier for you to see sin in other people who struggle differently than you do. But what about the stuff that you're dealing with? And isn't that true? That in the church, we can get really loud and even really angry about sin that other people struggles with, but we kind of turn a blind eye to the stuff that we struggle with on our own. And again, all of it is impure. But I wonder if I'm getting as upset about when a Christian leader falls into immorality than I am about when somebody who doesn't know Jesus is struggling in areas of impurity. Or when there's improprieties in the church finances, do I get upset about that as much as I do, you know, other people's stuff? Or maybe even getting closer to home, what about the stuff, Josh, that you struggle with? What about your lustful thoughts? And so it led to this great conversation. And here's the reality when it comes to purity and impurity is that all of us have some stuff that we're walking with, that we've been contaminated in some way. And rather than walking around trying to, you know, point at other people's stuff, here's what I know is when we're called to help people with the speck in their own eyes, the only way to do that is very gently and very slowly and with much care. In fact, the only person I'll let deal with my eyes is my wife. Like if I've got something stuck in my eye, because I know she's going to handle it pretty. I don't want Joel Christie coming at my eyes, all right? So, but what I'm saying is we got to be gentle. And the key to leveling up in our impurity is to turn our attention first on our own stuff. Like, God, where have I been covering some stuff up? Hiding, trying to present the appearance of purity versus actually seeking true purity. You know, I wonder if Thanksgiving with our families this week would go better if we lived by this principle. Some of you have already been rehearsing in your mind, who's gonna be the one that's gonna bring up politics, right? Or who's gonna criticize my life choices? Why aren't you married yet? You're having another kid? You know, you already know who's gonna be the one bringing that. Who's gonna talk too loud? Who's gonna pray too long? I know who that's gonna be in my family. Like, who's gonna push our buttons? But here's what happens as we walk into Thanksgiving, circling the specks in everybody else's eyes. I wonder what it would look like if we just came in this week and just every day this week, God, would you search my heart before I go to the table? So I know some of us may have some challenging conversations or some tricky situations that we've got to deal with at the Thanksgiving table. But what if we were just like, God, Would you search my heart? Lord, would you, Lord, search me and know me. That we would stop hiding and bring our stuff into the light. We can't control what comes out of other people's mouths, but we can control what kind of heart we bring to the table this week. See, purity does not begin with perfection. It begins with honesty. First step is just stop hiding and start bringing it into the light. But David doesn't stop at confession. He continues. The second thing we can learn to level up in purity is move from trying to fix yourself to asking God to remake us. Moving from trying to fix ourselves to asking God to remake us. Look what he says in verse 10. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. David doesn't say, God, help me do better. He says, God, make me new. The word for create in the Hebrew, it's the word bara, and it's the same word that's used in Genesis chapter 1 when God creates the heavens and the earth. He creates something from nothing. It's not like a let me improve you a little bit. It's a let me create in you a brand new heart. And church, the key to us leveling up is not continuing to try so hard to just fix ourselves. It's getting to this place of utter surrender. This place of, God, I can't solve this problem. God, I can't fix this in me. I need you to do something that I can't do myself. I love the way Ezekiel said it in Ezekiel 36, verses 26 through 27. One of the clearest pictures of the transformation that God longs to bring in all of us. And he says, I will give you a new heart, a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. God isn't saying try harder. He's saying, I'm gonna replace your heart. I wanna do something new. I'm gonna soften what's become hard. I'm gonna breathe life into what feels dead. I'm gonna empower you to live differently from the inside out. It's amazing. It's such an incredible gift. But yet here's what we do is we may get honest about our impurities. We go, God, I know I've got some bacteria, some parasites that are gonna make me sick. And so what we do is we think I'm gonna add a little bit of the God thing into my thing. Like I'm just gonna pour a little bit of the God thing. I'll attend church on the weekend and maybe I'll get involved in a small group. That's great. Maybe I'll give a little bit, but God, I'll just put a little bit of your good stuff into my bad stuff. But the reality is that doesn't help. It just creates this frustrating life where we're stuck between two worlds of trying to, and God's like, no, I actually, what I want you to do is take this dirty vessel, this impure water, and just bring it all to me. Just surrender it all to me. God, I don't know how to fix this. I don't know how to clean this up, but I'm just bringing it to you. And the beauty of the gospel, why we gather every single week, is that Jesus says, I read even this morning in 1 Peter chapter 2, that he bore all of our sin, all of the bacteria, all of the parasites, all of the things that make us sick spiritually, that separate us from a loving God. He took them all and he bore them in his own body on the cross. He's the only one that reached perfection. He's the only one that lived in a totally pure life. He was without sin, yet he bore our sin so that we could be made new, so that we could be born again, so that we could receive a new heart inside of us. So when we invite all of us as sinners to come to a saving faith in Jesus, we're not just asking God to, hey, make us a little bit better. We're saying, God, take all of it and would you replace it with a pure heart? And that's what he invites all of us to do and give all of us an opportunity to do that today, to just ask God, would you just create in me a pure heart, a clean heart, renew a steadfast spirit within me. So God's calling us to level up. And maybe there's some things that we've been okay with, kind of consuming some things that are actually making us sick, and God's saying, hey, I wanna level you up, son, but it starts with us just acknowledging it. And then it continues with us going, God, I'm not gonna try to fix this anymore on my own. I'm gonna ask you to do something that I can't do. And the beauty of it is when we do that, the third thing happens is we move from brokenness to being a blessing. I love that David says this in verse 13. He says, then, like if you'll do all of this, then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. See, God doesn't just forgive David, he recommissions him. And our restored heart becomes somebody else's hope. Our freedom becomes somebody else's roadmap, and our repentance becomes somebody else's revival. And the enemy of our soul would love for us to believe that, you know what, if they knew your sin, God could never use you, right? But God says, son, daughter, when I redeem your sin, I can use you like never before and inject your life with purpose in a way that you never thought that you could. I've shared this. Yeah, that's worth clapping for, I think. That's good news. I've shared with our church many times my own journey, and there have been several times in my life where I've had to confront my own impurities. And one of them that I've talked to you about is a struggle that I had with pornography. I brought it into our marriage. I had not shared it with anybody. And a couple years into our marriage, it came to light. And much like David, for a long time, I tried to cover it up and I tried to hide it and I tried to fix myself with it, and found ourselves getting deeper and deeper into this pit that it almost cost us our marriage. And I remember finally one day, and for us, it was after a night of just fighting and trying to figure it out. At 6 o'clock in the morning, I ended up calling a pastor at Seacoast on a Saturday morning, 6 a.m., and said, I need your help. Please don't call me at 6 a.m. on Saturday. Actually, I joke about that. We have a pastor on call that's on call 24 hours a day because we know what it feels like to be at the end of our rope, to be at a place where we need help. And that was the beginning of God beginning to, not through my own effort, but through him replacing a heart of stone with a heart of flesh, with a new heart, and began to restore and renew and replace. And I hesitated for so long to ever bring this up because I didn't want to be the porn pastor, okay? That doesn't look good on the bio. I didn't want that to be what I became known for. But when I finally had the courage for Lisa and I to share our story together, man, it was amazing to me how many people would come to me, say, hey, since you shared that, it's given me a little bit of freedom to share that in my own small group, or to come to you at the end of our rope. And we've been able to help so many different couples through. And I'll never forget one of them about 6 or 7 years ago, a guy on a Sunday morning walked into the doors of the church and he was at the very end of his rope. He found himself in such a pit and a mess that he didn't know, and I honestly didn't know either, how to get out of it. But as he kind of came clean and decided, I'm gonna stop covering this up, I'm gonna stop trying to figure it out, we just prayed this prayer. God, create in me a clean heart. Like, this is what I'm coming to you with. I don't know how to get myself out of it. And I began to watch God restore him. And he became the guy I would call when I felt overwhelmed with the number of people. I'd go, Josh, can you help me? Another guy named Josh. And he became a leader in a ministry that was called Pure Desire here at Seacoast. And he would then know anytime I'd call him, he'd go, all right, Josh, what's going on? I'm happy to help. And I called him a few weeks ago with another situation, a young person that came to me stuck in at the end of the rope. And he said, hey, Josh, by the way, I'd love to meet with him and connect with him, but I'm not leading Pure Desire anymore. And I was like, oh no, man, did you relapse? What happened? He goes, no. We've just had a whole lot more people come through, and we've seen God redeem some more stories. And now some of these guys are ready to take the baton and lead it and run with it. And so I'm transitioning it to them. And I want you, no matter where you are here at Seacoast, I want you to look around and really, that's what this church is. It's a whole bunch of blind beggars who have found a little bit of bread and are trying to help show others where to find it too. We have not figured it out. None of us is pure. none of us has got it all right, but man, we're all in a position where we've been at the end of our rope and say, God, I need you to do something new in me. And as he is renewing us and creating a clean heart in us and rewiring our desires, it's going, God, if you'll bring purpose out of the areas that I've struggled, I'm all in. That's what this place is about. The answer always lies at the feet of Jesus, at the cross. He did what none of us could do for ourselves. We simply have to come and receive that gift. So I want to close today a little bit differently than we normally do. We're going to do a collective reading together of Psalm 51, verse 10. And it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. What if the key to leveling up was a simple prayer of repentance as a starting point? Say, God, I need your help. And so if you're here today and no matter what you're dealing with or where you are, again, all of our hands went up earlier. We're all broken. We're all dealing with some level of impurity here and at our campuses online. Would you just be willing to pray this simple prayer of David out loud together? So let's do it out loud together. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. One more time. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. God, would you do that today? As your children, we come to you just wanting to be honest, God. Tired of pretending, tired of trying to cover things up. God, we're broken. Lord, we cannot attain purity on our own. Lord, I'm sorry for the many times that I've stood in judgment of other people while ignoring the stuff that's so obvious in my own life. Would you help us to own our stuff? And God, we're just coming to you today. We're gonna stop trying to fix it on our own. And we're just asking you to do something that only you can do. Thank you, Jesus, for the good news of the gospel, which is that you took all of our impurity to the cross. That he who had no sin bore our sin, that we would be able to be made righteous. And Lord, because of that, when we surrender our lives to you, when we bring our brokenness to you, Lord, somehow supernaturally, you're able to see us apart from our sin, but through the righteousness of Christ. And we thank you for that. Would you bring purpose to our own pain? Would you help us to walk out this life, to level up in the area of purity? We honor you and we worship you in Jesus' name, amen.